Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is April 13th. It's Monday night. This is Michael Collins Pfeiffer coming to you live from Washington. Washington, of course, is headquarters of American Free Press, and I urge you to check out the American Free Press website at AmericanFreePress.net. Well, we have a special guest tonight, folks, and I'm glad to welcome him back. He has been on this show several times, and he has always proved to be a very popular guest, and I'm going to be bringing him up momentarily. Before I do, I just want to mention something. American Free Press, during the next several weeks and perhaps well into the months ahead, is going to be trying to bring to public attention something that I've talked about on this show, something that has gotten some mileage on the Internet, but it appears to have been totally suppressed as far as news sites on the Internet are concerned. As far as if you do a search on Google News, you won't find anything about it. And I refer, of course, to Israel's malicious, rotten, low-down, murderous attack on the Gaza Zoo. You know, the irony is that the Israelis can go into Gaza and kill 1,400 men, women, and children, and the American people in the world don't seem to react. Well, maybe they will react if they know what the Israelis did at the Gaza Zoo. We got to make those people pay the price. God, do we got to make them pay the price for that. And I want to thank again the listener who sent me the email, Dean, who is the one person who did send me the email. Otherwise, I might not have heard about it. And again, I thank him for that. We're going to make this a worldwide issue, ladies and gentlemen. Well, folks, our guest tonight is Van Lohman. And if you would want to talk to Van later in the program, you're more than welcome to call in here. Let me tell you about Van. As I say, he's been a guest in this program before, but I want to read you a note that I received from one of our listeners. She writes, "Van Lohman is always a pleasure to listen to, so please have him back soon, but please let him speak." I guess I must have interrupted Van too much. She says, "Why can't RBN give Van a tiny evening spot? Or perhaps you have him on every 2 weeks for serious discussions on current issues. Please let Van sit in for you when you do a no-show. I love you and your courage. Jesus bless you." Well, that's a nice way to conclude a very nice, short, sweet, and to-the-point message. And after I got that letter, I called Van Lohman up, and I said, "Van, you have a fan," and said, "Hey, why don't you come on Monday night?" Well, it is Monday night, and Van Lohman is with us. I should mention, incidentally, in the context of that particular message from one of our listeners that I just read to you, I have had Van on the show several times before, and every time he has been on the show, I have gotten emails from people saying, "Hey, he's a really great guest. He's interesting to listen to. Please have him back." And, you know, I'll tell you why that's interesting, folks, because as I've mentioned here before, Van, several times a year, he's based in Cincinnati, Ohio, incidentally. Several times a year, he does a presentation before an honors class in political science at high schools, or at a high school in Columbus, Ohio, Thomas Worthington School. It's a course on political extremism, and Van, well, I guess he is a political extremist. He's a friend of mine and a political associate of mine, so I guess that probably ranks him in that category, if for no other reason. But I'll tell you what, Van was active a long, long time before I ever was, and he knew some very interesting people in his lifetime, and he still knows a lot of interesting people. But when Van speaks at those high school courses, invariably, the students are always quite fascinated. They're quite delighted to listen to what he has to say, agree or disagree with him. They keep asking him back. He's been doing it for years and years. And so we are asking Van back here tonight. He will be with us momentarily. Hang on for the break, folks.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA, and in some instances your 401k plan, into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We have Van Lohman aboard with us. I'm just going to bring Van up right now. Van, welcome aboard.
Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Well, I tell you what, Van, I have this curse upon me that I read the paper over lunch and dinner. And well, I didn't have lunch today. I'm too fat to have both lunch and dinner. But anyway, I reading the paper over dinner, and I came across an item that I, you know, we don't have anything specific to discuss here, but I thought I'd just throw this one at you and get your comments. I'm not even going to comment until afterwards, if I comment at all. Washington Post had a piece in the paper today about some fourth grade teacher in Texas who told her students about the horrible things that were happening to the executives of AIG, the International Financial Corporation that is in the news today. She told the students that the families of AIG executives were receiving death threats, and they were being ordered to pay back money that they felt they had earned. And one of the students suggested that the kids would write the AIG executives and tell them that it would be a nice thing, that if everything's going to be okay for them. So some 30 students in this lady's class sent cards to the executives at AIG. Now let me read you just a quick couple of them, Van. One of the kids wrote, "The whole country doesn't despise you. We understand. Thank you for your service and support. Have a good year. Be glad, not sad." Another kid wrote very simply, "We don't hate you, AIG," and put a nice big heart on it. And another one, listen to this, Van, wrote, "We fourth graders know that Barack Obama and the Congress threw you under the bus. We understand. We don't hate you like the greedy Congress. does. What do you think of that, Van?
Wow. Well, Mike, I tell you, several things come to mind. The first thing I want to say is, what grade did you say that was?
This is fourth grade.
Fourth grade. That's very nice. I think that's awful cute. And these little fourth graders, you know, I remember when I was about in the fourth grade, we used to draw our own Valentines and send them back and forth from student to student and all that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all very nice and cute, but I don't really think that it's a subject for fourth grade education. Do you?
No, and, you know, it certainly isn't. And, you know, I wonder if this fourth grade teacher told her students about all of the people that lost their life savings or lost substantial amounts of their 401k programs or all of these things that have happened as a consequence of the intrigues of AIG and these other Jewish financial houses on Wall Street. I mean, what could be motivating this woman? I mean, these kids really don't understand. Let's be honest about it. These nice kids, they don't understand what the hell they're even talking about.
Well, Mike, there's a simple answer to what's motivating that teacher. She's nuts.
As I mentioned at the outset, you have some very real experience talking about political affairs with students in honors courses in, I believe, senior classes. And these are kids who, most of them, are getting ready to go off to college. I had a very wonderful experience over the phone lecturing with these kids and once in person out there in Columbus, Ohio. And I'll tell you something, Van, in my experience there, I actually learned a lot from dealing with the students. Likewise, when I spoke to a group of students at a college in California where the ADL tried to keep me from speaking.
I remember that.
Yeah. Now, you know, like you put it quite correctly. It's not a subject for fourth graders, and yet this is the kind of thing that we see in the media that's thrown out there. I mean, what are they trying to do? Make us sympathize for these thieves? I mean, you know, it's insane.
Well, Mike, I'll be honest with you. You know, I don't care if we want to talk about AIG or whatever other issues there that we could talk about. Lately, I've been so aggravated, I can't hardly see straight. I'm beginning to believe that I've been transported to another planet. Because if you consider the current events and what's happening in this country and throughout the world right now, and then consider the things that we were predicting 50 years ago, you know, we have been on target 100% or at least 95% for the past 50 years. We've been trying to tell the American people what was coming. You know, it was like, and now all you want to do is just go up to one of them and say, look, moron, we tried to tell you, you were too busy watching the damn game. What's the matter with you? You know, you're nuts. And because the chickens have finally come home to roost, Mike, there's no question about that.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, Van. I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day, one of my relatives, and he's getting ready to retire. And he's lost about 40% of his retirement. And you know what his reaction to it is? He's, you know, pretty stoic about it. He says, the way I look at it, I'm drowning, but so is everybody else. Now, unfortunately, I understand where he's coming from, and yet, you know, I'm afraid, Van, that maybe a lot of people are adopting that kind of attitude. They're just figuring, well, everybody's going to hell in a handbasket, so we're all going to ride to hell together. But I guess what I'm concerned about is that people are not really prepared to stand up and get the pitchforks out and go up on Wall Street with their belts and their pitchforks and hang these people and really show them what it's all about.
Well, Mike, you know, that day may not be too far off. I sense a growing frustration amongst American people. And you know me, I talk politics 24 hours a day. You know, the people are expressing a great deal of frustration and fear and apprehension. And it goes far beyond that small group we usually call the right wing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is finally leaking into mainstream America. And there's no telling how far it's liable to go.
You know, Van, it occurs to me, as we were talking here, you know, a lot of our listeners have just really, a lot of people who are now listening to this broadcast and Republic Broadcasting and so forth, they, a lot of them just got into this, whatever this happens to be, this quote-unquote movement or non-movement, as I call it sometimes. They really got into it after September 11th, you know, because they began to realize things were not as they were purported to be. But, you know, in all the years I've known you, and I guess I've known you, I can never remember what, 20, 25 years, 20 years at least.
Yeah.
A little bit more than that. I don't know if I ever asked you in all the hours upon hours upon hours we spent in person and on the phone talking. I don't know if I ever asked you how you ever actually first became politically aware or what your earliest political awareness was. Have you ever thought about it? Is there any answer to that?
I can name you the day just about. And it was, I guess I was about 9 years old. And my mother and stepfather got into an argument over the federal forced integration of the high school at Little Rock, Arkansas. Okay?
Okay.
And you would have loved to have been there. My mother was quite an articulate woman, and she wasn't stupid either. And my stepfather was one of these thick-headed German liberals that always used to cuss Adolf Hitler all the time. I mean, you couldn't even mention Adolf. I tried to draw a picture of Adolf Hitler one time, and he come up behind me and seen what I was drawing and slapped the hell out of me. So in any event, I listened very studiously to that discussion, and that was, I think, the beginning of my political interests.
That's very, very interesting. How old were you then? That would have been, oh, God.
Well, about 9 years old.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
all right, that's pretty much around the time when my political awareness, actually I can date it back to about 1968 with the 1968 presidential campaign.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's about the
yeah.
first time where I really, yeah,
where
I started. And you're a little bit older than I am, so, but we were basically about the same age.
1967 was the year that I first met George Wallace.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was 7 years old. You were already a teenager by then.
Well, actually, I was 20 years old, and I was a member of the State Executive Committee for the American Independent Party.
Oh, okay. All right.
Ended up getting thrown off the committee because I wasn't old enough to vote.
You know, that's kind of funny. I could go into that, but that's interesting. I mean, so you were already involved in, hardcore politics at a pretty young age.
Oh, I had a little red wagon full of John F. Kennedy campaign tabloids that I passed out in 1959 when I was 11. I went all around the neighborhood to folks' house. I'd gone up to the Democratic headquarters, and they'd give me a big old stack of these tabloids. And I was a John Kennedy fan at the time. But in any event, yeah, that was I guess that's when I began my political career, when I was 11 years old.
Well, Van, you know, I tell you what, we're going to be going to a break here in a moment, and I want to mention that you have, in fact, just it's been really completed for a while. A little bit of fine tuning needed here, but you have written a very, very interesting book, which is part autobiographical, but it's a lot more than that. It goes into at least two very interesting subject areas: the assassination of President John F. Kennedy and the assassination of Martin Luther King. Well, it goes a lot farther than that. It goes into what you might call the ugly secret underbelly of American politics, the intersection of quote-unquote political extremism with the CIA and the FBI. And it's a damn good book, and I'm hoping that American Free Press is going to publish it. I know somebody will. But when we come back, I'm going to read to the audience, we'll just wait. The audience will just have to wait. And we are going to the break right now, folks. More with Van Lohman when we come back. Stay tuned.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
When you build your own firearm, you build confidence.
KT Ordnance offers the best ATF-approved 80% kits that can be made into firearms.
And when you build your own firearm,
you know it inside and out.
You know how it fires.
You take pride in ownership. Head to ktordnance.com for a great father-son or father-daughter firearm build, like the .45 caliber KT-1911, or choose the .50 caliber KTP-50 that fires a 275-grain bullet for pure stopping power. KT Ordnance's kits are fully legal, ATF-approved, 80% firearm kits with no serial numbers, no background check, and no government 4473 forms to fill out. Go to ktordnance.com and get yours today. That's ktordnance.com. ktordnance.com. Building your own firearm is fun, and you acquire useful skills,
especially at times like these.
Remember, when you build your own firearm, you know it inside and out. KT Ordnance also accepts gold and silver payments. Visit ktordnance.com today.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here with our special guest, Van Lohman, out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Just mentioned that Van has just completed a very interesting manuscript that goes in a lot of different directions, but all tie together very much so in a very interesting package. And I know you're going to find this book very, very interesting when it is published, and I guarantee it will be. But I already have a draft copy of the introduction to the book, very brief forward to the book, written by Father Patrick Bosio. Now, Father Bosio is a Catholic priest, as I guess you might have figured out. He's a member, I guess, of the Order of the Holy Ghost. And he has written 2 books that have been published by American Free Press. One of them is Perfidy, a story of the abandonment of the American POWs, co-written with Sergeant John Holland. And also a very interesting book, particularly because it's written by a Catholic priest. It's entitled The Immorality of Illegal Immigration. And both of them are available from American Free Press. You can go to the website at AmericanFreePress.net. But I just want to go ahead and read to the audience, Van, this introduction to the book written by Father Bosio. He says, "During all of my now almost 54 years of priesthood, I've always tried to be all things to all men, since we all share our humanity, our weaknesses, and our strengths. Writing an introduction to an excellent book written by a former State of Ohio Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan is no exception. I first met Van Lohman in 2007 in a small shop in Newport, Kentucky. We have enjoyed a friendship for 2 years now. This friendship has given me an opportunity to look through the windows of the mind of a man who lived in a world that I knew nothing about. It enabled me, as a priest, to understand the joys, the fears, the temptations, the rationales of not only the Ku Klux Klan and its history, but also for our purposes here to look into and understand the world of the conspiratorial assassin. Van Lohman has written a scholarly study, The Mysteries Surrounding the Assassinations of Both John F. Kennedy and the Charismatic Martin Luther King. He presents sufficient circumstantial evidence to convince this jury of one that these assassinations remain open for investigation, that what we know as the public, quote, truth, unquote, on each of them is not, in fact, the truth. Van Lohman presents this story in such a way as to keep the reader on the edge of his seat, making the book as enjoyable as it is scholarly. This introduction to the world of conspiratorial assassinations at the highest levels will keep you alert the next time such a conspiracy makes world headlines. Father Patrick Bascio, Holy Ghost Father. Van, that's quite an introduction. When I got that, you sent that to me by email, I called you up right away and said, Van, you couldn't have paid him to write something better than that.
You know, I'm still reeling from it. It is a very, very complimentary introduction, and it certainly will be used. I mean, it'll be in the book because Father Pat, by the way, is a very, very interesting man. He's about 85 years old, but he is as sharp as a tack. And fortunately, he now lives close enough by me that he and I can work together on various projects. So, you know, let me just say I'm really grateful to Father Pat for his kind words. I really am.
Yeah, and they're quite deserved, too. And, you know, Van, that brings up my next topic here. We're going to go to the break pretty soon. We have quite a few callers lined up. We'll get around to them after the break. But, you know, in your own experience, you have come to realize, in your own very real experience, much of which you've written about in the book, you come to realize that so much of what we get out of the government and the media just isn't true. Did it take you a long time to understand that, or was it just something you've come to understand in retrospect?
Well, no, I think I began to understand it some time back, but it did take a while. It did take a while. And you know, I've been, so far as my involvement back in those days are concerned, I've actually allowed myself to be put into some pretty dangerous situations because I was stupid. I had no idea what was going on. But after you do that enough times, you begin to wonder what's up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, without going into the details, because the details probably go in about five different directions, but I know you've told me in person at least once, and I think you've written about it in the book, some, what I would say, very interesting stories. I hate to use the word stories. That seems to downgrade them, but put it this way. You've related incidents in your life which led you in retrospect to believe, and certainly me, as I heard them, led us both to believe that perhaps you were maybe even being set up as a possible patsy in some assassination or some crime, that maybe you were being used, unknowing to yourself, being used in intelligence operations. And some of these stories, as you've related in the book and in person quite effectively, are stories that a lot of people, I guess they can't really quite understand them or appreciate them until they actually experience them themselves. But you've put it in a way that people can understand it.
Well, I hope so. I know I've had some rather scary experiences, especially with respect to these two murders that were committed here in Cincinnati that were finally attributed to Joseph Paul Franklin. I think I've told you about that.
Yeah, no, and Joseph Paul Franklin, for those who don't remember, you might want to remind people who he is.
Well, he is, they call him the racist sniper. He's the guy that's alleged to have shot Vernon Jordan, Larry Flint, and I think he's got about 20 different murder raps. He's doing time, right? You know, he's on death row right now. But anyway, I hear the music, so I'll shut up.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah. All right, folks, we are going to the break. We are coming back with Van Lohman. We'll go to some phone calls here, I think, and see what you have to say about this or any other matter that we might want to talk about. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt expert system has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
The new world order beast is genetically modifying your food.
Genetically modifying.
Mixing vegetables with animals. And now experimenting with viruses.
Viruses.
Without a long-term food solution, you will have just two options. Starve or surrender.
Surrender.
All canned food supplies will eventually run out.
What then?
Then. Grow your own healthy food and feed your family forever. SurvivalistSeeds.com is now the nation's largest bulk heirloom seed company.
And it's owned by a real patriot.
Big John Lipscomb.
You can now have
an infinite amount of healthy vegetables like a watermelon, a bundle of carrots, or tomatoes for a little more than a penny each. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And now you can go into business with Big John at SurvivalistSeeds.com by becoming an affiliate. See his link at SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here with Van Lohman, talking about some of Van's, well, he's had some unusual experiences. Van, there's one thing I would like you to relate to our audience. Back about 30 years ago, you received an unusual communication from Washington, D.C., essentially inviting you to testify before the House Assassinations Committee. Could you talk a little bit about that? I think that will pique some people's interest.
Well, boy, it's kind of a long story, but I'll try to make it as short as possible. Jim Harris, one of the subjects of the book, called me to tell me that he had been interviewed by two counsels of the House Select Committee on Assassinations in executive session. And they had actually flown him from Washington to Greater Cincinnati Airport. And, I mean, he was such a top-secret guy that they didn't even want him anywhere near Washington. Anyway, and most of his testimony is still, you can't get your hands on it. At least I can't. I know the FBI is holding at least 1,000 pages on this guy. Anyway, he called me to tell me that they were asking about me, and I said, well, what in the hell they want to know about me for? I'll skip a lot of this. Anyway, I contacted the House committee, and I said, look, what's up, you know, so to speak. And they sent me a letter confirming that they had actually interviewed Jim Harris in executive session, and that with a lot of other little niceties, said, if you have any information concerning the assassination of John Kennedy or Martin Luther King, we would invite you to come forward. And, of course, My position at the time was I had absolutely no interest in talking to these people. And, but to make a long story short, Jim Harris told me, he said, well, you know, if you don't go, they're going to subpoena you. And I said, well, they can do that. And he said, well, if you don't respond to the subpoena, long story, you'll get arrested sooner or later and you'll end up going to jail. I said, well, that's just what we'll have to do. And I think my reluctance to contact that committee any more than I already had might have well saved my life. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the whole story is, that much alone. I mean, there are very few people in the United States of America who can say that they have been the subject of interest of a congressional committee that is at least ostensibly investigating two major political assassinations. So if there's nothing else you had to tell your grandchildren, that would certainly be a story that I think most people would find of a little bit of interest anyway. And that's just kind of a highlight of some many interesting things that have happened to you over the years in your...
You know, that letter was actually signed by G. Robert Blakey, who was the chief counsel of the Assassinations Committee.
Yeah, this wasn't exactly Betty Boop, the secretary in the front office, sending out an Easter card to Van Loman.
Right, exactly. Yeah, those were the good old days, I'll tell you.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
Go ahead, Van. I'm sure you remember the story of Bob Peters, how... And the warning he gave me about that particular matter.
And he was a high-ranking FBI official in Cincinnati, was it not?
Well, he was actually the special agent in charge of the Louisville, Kentucky office.
Oh, okay.
He told me person to person with his finger jabbing me in the chest that if I went to Washington and testified before that committee, it'd be the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. And then, but I'd better keep my mouth shut. You don't know nothing. You understand, boy? And I listened to him.
Now, just for the benefit of the audience, we're not here to pretend that Van Loman was involved in any assassinations, because he wasn't. The point is that these people were afraid that maybe Van might know something about certain people who have been implicated in the assassination. And they wanted to keep it quiet. Wouldn't you say that's a good assessment of the situation, Van?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's exactly right. So many people, or so few people, actually understand the Cincinnati-Newport connection to all of these assassinations. And it's a very, very important connection. It's been completely ignored and covered up by the FBI and other investigative agencies over the years. And as Father Pat says, I think I have presented a fairly good argument, concerning these issues.
I was, of course, very much aware of it when I wrote Final Judgment, and I made passing reference to it and to you in the book, primarily because of the fact that I knew you were interested in writing a book, and I thought, my God, if anybody's going to write the book on the subject, it should be Van Loman, because you're the guy who experienced it all, who knew the players, who had the contacts, and as I say, I'm glad you've finally gotten this book together. It's been a long time in the making, so I know people are going to find it of immense interest.
Let me say this about Final Judgment, by the way. When I first read that, doubtless I was very, very, very impressed. And I've always considered Final Judgment the most authoritative work on the assassination of John Kennedy in particular than any of the others I've ever read, and I've read a bunch of them. But if there is any shortcomings at all to Mike's theories, and I don't really think there is, but if anyone wants to argue about it, have them talk to me.
Well, I appreciate that, Van. Well, Van, there are some people out there who do want to talk. And tell you what, we're going to go ahead and bring a couple of them up as we have a few minutes here left. Let's go to John in California. John, come on up.
Hey, happy Monday, gentlemen.
How you doing, John?
Hey, Van, nice to hear from you. I've never heard you speak before, but I used to followed your career in the old spotlight for years. I remember they always used to cover you in your political endeavors, and especially in Cincinnati. So this is really eye-opening to hear what you've really been involved with all this time.
Well, you know, that's a wonderful thing to say. Where are you from again, by the way?
I'm out in California, out in the, by San Francisco.
Oh, wow, wow.
I took the spotlight from its inception when Bob Bartel used to have his radio program, This is Liberty Lobby, at 1 o'clock every afternoon. I used to always look forward to that, and when the spotlight, they started advertising, I took it, and I was never stopped reading it. And especially now with American Free Press, I still see your name in there as the Midwest Bureau Chief with Ken Hoop.
Wow, yeah, I tell you, it's wonderful to know that I have friends in California.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe one of these days I'll get out there. I really do appreciate your support and your interest. It's a wonderful thing. And, I should also say I've always appreciated the support of the, American Free Press and the old Spotlight, of course.
Let me ask you a question, Van. Back in the days when you were running for, I guess it was city council in Cincinnati. That's
right.
When they did a lot of coverage and you were, you didn't win, as far as I know, but I was just wondering, with your background, were there a lot of people trying to prevent you from getting involved in those endeavors and political?
Not so much in 1985. I think I got pretty much a free ride that time. But in 1992, I was a candidate for a special congressional election here locally. When Willis Grattison resigned and what's that guy's name? Can't even think of his name right now. Became congressman. He's been a part of the Bush administration. It'll come to me in a second. But in any event, I feel as though that campaign was very, very definitely sabotaged. It got pretty crazy there for a while.
Yeah, I followed that. I got one other question. I'll let since you're out in the Midwest, and I followed this for the last few years. The left side of the political, now they've got Air America on that kind of stands for everything on the left besides all the conservatives on the right. And I'm just wondering, there's like Ed Schultz, he's supposed to be a big voice there. He comes on the afternoon out here, and I listen every now and then because I tell Mike I can't get the internet driving around. That's part of my job. So I have
right.
to listen to either the conservative end or that, and I've heard a lot of it. Either Tom Hartman, who's now in Portland but was from Vermont, and now it's Ed Schultz in the afternoon out of Minneapolis or North Dakota. What's your opinion of Air America? I think it's a conspiracy where they just put it there to put the left-leaning side on, so, you know, they got two sides in America. People who think they're on the left side can talk to them.
Well, you know, it's like I told Mike a little earlier. I'm beginning to believe that I've been somehow transported to another planet. Outwardly, this may appear to be America, but this is not America. We have been co-opted by the corporate elite. Jews. I mean, the Jew has really done a job on America. I don't care any of these radio commentators what they say. I'm not talking about RBN. I'm talking about mainstream radio. These guys are all liars. They are all liars of one description or another. And I actually, I listen to them from time to time because I need to know what they're saying. But I pay very, very little attention. I think it's much more important to actually listen to a broadcast network like RBN, which is clearly not for entertainment. It is for news and action. So I don't know if that answers you. I'm preaching now. Anyway, that's my opinion.
Okay, John, any further comments?
I'm bringing them on and everything.
Pardon me?
Oh, yeah, okay, thank you. He said, thanks for bringing Van on. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Van on. Always a pleasure to have you, John.
Good night,
appreciate it. All right, we are going to move a little bit east. A little bit east to Arizona. We have Rick in Arizona.
Mike, you hear me, Mike?
Yes, I can, Rick.
Yeah, I got one question. Whatever happened to Jim from Texas?
You know, that's funny. I've been asking that question myself. I haven't heard from Jim in a while. And I mentioned that to Mark Glenn the other day. If anybody knows where Jim from Texas is, please let us know. We miss Jim here anyway.
Yeah, I hope he's not sick or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you guys mentioned Ed Schultz here, the last caller. Here, my analysis of Ed Schultz's situation. The guy's really a no-talent moron. They brought him in from he's a duck-hunting Republican from way back. And what they did was he turned into a Democrat He could have been a United States senator in North Dakota, but the three musketeers, Dorgan and Conrad and Pomeroy, they basically got him big on the radio there. And they basically took control of Ed Schultz, the media, because I'll tell you why. The National Guard units from that area are critical and imperative to what's going on in the Middle East, and he never talked crap about the war. He kept his mouth shut, and I think he's on TV as a payoff.
Very, very interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
No, he was the mouth of that area. I mean, if he got on the radio every day and started bitching about the war and created, you know, animosity amongst the troops, that would have been a big deal.
You know, it's kind of interesting talking about these I call them the Judas goats, you know, these people who pretend to be providing us an alternative point of view. You can always kind of, if you start listening to them very, very carefully, you can see where the lines they don't cross. Van himself has had some experience with a very well-known television personality out of Cincinnati, Jerry Springer. Van, you might want to comment on that.
Oh, my gosh, Jerry Springer. Well, you know what I always have said about Jerry Springer, don't you?
No, tell me.
I said that with, let's see, how did I put that? With all of his powers of speech and his presentational powers is the word I'm looking for. Anyway, Adolf Hitler could have never made a better case against the Jews than Jerry Springer does by just being one.
You know, actually, I have heard you say that, Van, and it's quite profound. Actually, I said something very similar one time about the guy who headed the Jewish Defense League, whose sordid name escapes me at the moment. But it's amazing the way our friends in the mass media they tell us who we are to listen to and who the approved voices are and what they have to say. Rick, you're out there in Arizona. Arizona has been, unbeknown to many, many people, Arizona has been for years an outpost of the Jewish crime syndicate. Is it still that way today?
Yeah, it all is. It's the same thing in Vegas. It's the same thing in Minneapolis. I mean, and Cleveland, Ohio. I mean, Cleveland, Ohio brought Mo Dalis into Las Vegas, the Purple Gang. I mean, any big city. That book Gus Russo's book.
Supermob, right?
You know, I mean, you take a look at what went on from out of Chicago to California. That's all controlled by the mafia.
You know, that guy,
the racetracks, the banks, everything.
Mo Dalis had connections down into Newport, Kentucky, which is right across the river from Cincinnati. And Van knows a lot of the people, knows of a lot of the people who were moving in those circles. So it's really, really a tightly knit group that's spread all over the country.
If I can inject something here for a minute, you know, one of the things that's so doggone frustrating is all these references to the so-called mafia. You know, the Italian people are a good people. They are a patriotic people. They're family oriented. They're religious. They're God fearing. They are a wonderful mixture to the American demographic landscape. They really are. And they get all this flack from the media and from the public alike because of the so-called the criminal implication. And the fact is, it's not the Italian people that are running organized crime in this world. Mike, you know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the damn Jews.
Absolutely. You said it right there, Van. And the same people that we're talking about here out of Cleveland, out of Newport, Kentucky, across the river from you, out there in Arizona where Rick is, up into Las Vegas, very, very small, tight, and well on into Los Angeles, all part of the same crowd.
Oh, listen, the biggest mob, if you just, you know, call it the mob, biggest mob name in the greater Cincinnati area is Levinson. Now, that's hardly Italian. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, the biggest political front man for the organized crime syndicate out in Arizona before John McCain, I suppose, was a guy named Goldwater, and Goldwater ain't an Irish name.
No, I don't think it is either. I really don't.
All right, I tell you what, we're going to the break right now. Rick, I thank you for your call, as always. We'll be talking to you again soon. We are going to the break, folks. Stay tuned here. When we come back, we will talk more with Van Lohman, and we'll be able to squeeze in another caller. Actually, I'll tell you what, we're going to go to Chicago. I can't think of a better place to go, considering the nature of the discussion we're having here. We're going to bring up Steve from Chicago. Steve always has some interesting insights. So, Van, put your thinking cap on. You know a little bit about Chicago.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little bit. All right, folks, we are going to the break. Stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper. You're listening to RepublicBroadcasting.org.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, folks, we're wrapping it up. If you want to send an email to Van Lohman, you can write him at vlohman, that's V as in Victor, Lohman, L-O-M-A-N, vlohman at juno.com, and that's J-U-N-O.com, vlohman at juno.com. Okay, Van, we're going to wrap it up here with Steve from Chicago. He's always got some interesting insights. Steve, come aboard.
Yes, sir. First, Michael, I'd like to say I read Carolyn's website, and she's right about blonde guys being the best. But I'm calling now about Friday's show. You were talking about, you were praising Obama. You said that he was for the Muslims. Well, did you see that article? It's Obama's mentor, Barack, has a Yiddish and neshama. It was in the Jerusalem Post. It comes out to be the former U.S. Congressman Abner Mikva. And Mikva's going, he says he tutored him in politics.
And he's out of Chicago, of course. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Barack will be the first Jewish president of the United States. He's committed to the security concerns. It's all in the Jerusalem Post. That isn't explored. The other aspect, if you go to the New York Times, it says Obama's rabbi. It's this Michelle Robinson, who is Obama's wife, has somehow got a first cousin that's a black Jewish rabbi. So,
yeah, I'll tell you something about that, though, Steve. You know, I read that article. In fact, I set it aside to talk about it on the show. You know, those black Hebrew organizations and those black Hebrew congregations, they believe that the blacks are the real Jews and that they are the real chosen people of God. And that sets them apart very much from the standard Jewish community. So that whole situation there is not so cut and dried. I think that presents a real problem for both Obama and for the organized Jewish groups, because they don't want to attack Obama, but at the same time they know that this quote unquote rabbi who is Michelle Obama's cousin doesn't exactly fall into line. In fact, that New York Times article said that the rabbi is quote unquote far more to the left on the Middle East than Obama is. So that's a sticking point there.
Mike, if I could inject.
Go ahead, yeah.
Let me make a prediction. You know, right now it's very difficult to tell just exactly who's controlling Barack Obama, as you well know. I will predict that before too long an incident's going to arise that will require him to demonstrate his loyalties in a way that's going to be unmistakable. And at that point, the boy's going to be in real trouble because it's going to be a very, very important day indeed when the President of the United States is forced to declare his loyalty to the United States or to the nation of Israel.
Yeah, and I think with this current government in Israel right now, all indications are that there is the – it looks to me as though no matter how much Obama's Jewish associates here in the United States keep saying how great a guy he is, I think there's going to be some real problems there. I think you're right about that, Van. Steve, did you have any comments?
He's trying to play both ends against the middle is what he's trying to do.
Well, as most presidents do.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then there's one other thing, a Chicago Sun-Times article. It says, Farrakhan, followers must continue Obama energy. Now, this goes to show he's trying to sit on all chairs at once. Farrakhan says he was lying low purposefully so he could get him in there. And he's talking about how he supported him, you know, at the Savior's Day convention. And to me, he's playing all both sides. But one last thing you said about Jean-Marie Le Pen. He was accused of being a racist because he had to feed the poor handing out ham sandwiches. And you're absolutely right. There were no Arabs taking it. But guess what? There were no Likuds taking it either. I'll let you guys go.
All right, Steve. Thanks for your call.
See ya.
I'd like to hear from Steve. Throws interesting comments into this mix we call this program. All right, Van, thanks again as always. People can write Van Lohman at vlohman@juno.com. Apologies to Dave and Jim and Tim. We couldn't bring them up, but we'll be here tomorrow night, God willing.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, thanks, Van.
Bye-bye.
With recent